Lineouts. Racks.
Halls engage.
What an amazing try.
Tries and tackles. Dissected by South Africa's top rugby minds.
That is world class.
This is To The Last Drop, your weekly in-depth rugby podcast with Liam Delcombe and Brendan Nell.
This is To The Last Drop. I'm Liam Delcombe.
And I'm Brendan Nell.
More derbies on the horizon, Brendan. Last week we saw a one-off fixture between the Lions and the Bulls at Loftus. But this weekend, the Lions hosting the Sharks, and there's more action at Loftus. This time the Bulls hosting the Stormers. Obviously two fairly big fixtures, especially the second one, which is probably the blue chip fixture on the South African domestic rugby front, the Bulls against the Stormers. But let's start with the Lions-Sharks, because it is an interesting matchup. We've got the Lions going into that game having been handed a defeat at Loftus, and the Sharks, contrasting fortunes for them there, because they walked away from Loftus with a fantastic smash and grab over the Bulls 2 weeks ago, almost 2 weeks ago. What do you make of the Lions prospects in this one?
It's always the derby is always a difficult one for me, because I mean the teams know each other so well, and I mean we had a chat with Devin Williams at the Bulls this week, and he sort of confirmed that he said that much tougher than playing any overseas team, just because we know each other so well, and obviously there's a bit more personal needle in all these games. A lot of these players have played together at some point in their careers and know each other, and just in the Lions thing, I mean there's just. Yeah, the Sharks beat them in the Curry Cup final. Jordan Hendricks, yeah, his history with the Lions. There's a lot of little things, little side stories in each of these games.
And also the coaching, I think quite a few ex-Lions with the Sharks.
Yeah, and I mean, to me, it's just, it's one of those where it's sometimes just difficult to, I mean, there's a clear favorite if you look at the logs. The Sharks should, at their fourth position, they grab another victory away from home. It's going to set them very nicely for the rest of the season. And the Lions are a bit desperate. They can't really afford to lose anything at the moment. So if they want to make the top eight. So contrasting fortunes. But yeah, I think in this one, the Lions will back their attack. But the Sharks' attack against the Bulls was probably their strong point. And you could the fact that they try to run everything against the Bulls and that smash and grab in the second half where they scored three tries off Bulls' mistakes. Yeah, they're certainly a team that can do that against the Lions. I don't know. I mean, I've said it before them, and you've laughed at me before when I've said it, but there seems to be something missing at the Lions the whole time. They've got the players, they've got the talent.
Yeah, did I laugh at you? Was it like, was I making poking fun at you?
I think you were laughing because I was going to go there and that sort of thing. But I question whether everything is right there at the Lions at times, and I know some people have disagreed with me, but I just feel at times there's something missing there the whole time. I can't quite put my finger on it. I probably could, but yeah, they make their choices in their coaching lineup, so it should be interesting. But yeah, they've got all the talent. They've got the attack. But just sometimes they just don't want to back themselves with it.
You kind of mentioned it earlier. You mentioned the Curry Cup final. And in fact, one of the Lions players, Siba Toma, mentioned it in an interview this week. Whether there's still a little bit of, not the resentment's not the word, but does the Lions still feel that's one that they should have won, and you know, maybe they're holding out a bit of a grudge for what happened there, or you know, set things right against the Sharks. Maybe that's the better way of putting it, because they could have won the Curry Cup final and then they messed it up. So I don't know how much that will play or feed into the narrative of this game and in the build-up, or in fact in the game itself. But he seemed to suggest that a number of Lions players aren't over it. They aren't over that Curry Cup final defeat.
Yeah, and that'll drive them. But I mean, yeah, those personal grudges, only get professional rugby players will tell you, they only get you that far in the game. I'm not quite sure it's that a big thing. I'm not sure the Curry Cup. I think the disappointment will definitely be there, and it'll definitely fuel them this week. But yeah, again, that sort of almost plays into the same point that I made, is that there was another game where they had it in the scruff of their hands.
One thing missing.
And they let it go. And you know, there's too many of those. And I think the bigger question for the Lions for me is, when do you get over that hurdle, and how do you get over that hurdle? And by doing that, they need to start winning local derbies and when it matters. They had to win over the Sharks last season. They had to win over the Stormers now this season.
But in fact, they had two over the Sharks last season.
Yes, so you're right. The Sharks last season weren't also the same side they are now. They're a lot stronger this time.
Yeah.
And yeah, it feels to me that they need to start putting wins together in succession in South African derbies. And they don't do that. They have one-off good performances, but they can't back it up with.
Yeah, look, this is becoming just about a must-win game for them. If they lose this one, they would still only be left with but one derby win this season. So it's still a lot of work to be done on that front, clearly. Because if you don't boss your own backyard, I mean, where are you going to boss?
Yeah, and you know, I got a feel, and just on the derby thing, I mean, this has almost become a mini sort of Currie Cup this last couple of weeks, this derby after derby. And I say Currie Cup in the broader sense of the world, this is the mini South African conference, you know, sort of, yeah, in March. And it's tough. Eh? I think the team that probably can complain the most about it is the Bulls, where they've had, what, five in a row. And the attrition rate for these derbies is high. They're very physical between our teams. But yeah, the Lions have had the luxury of having a break before the Bulls game, and they couldn't put that through. And it was the same, almost the same. Yeah, they had their chances. They had two tries disallowed against the Bulls. They probably feel they're unlucky with that. But you sort of didn't ever get the feeling the Bulls weren't in control of that game when they played them. And it just seemed like, I don't know what the block is. Yeah, there's something.
Yeah, I think the Lions will be very disappointed. They didn't get at least a bonus point out of that game, because if not two bonus points.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they need a win against the Sharks. And the one thing about the Sharks you got to give them as well is they're a lot stronger side without their Springboks this season. The signings they've made have been some really impressive ones, likes of Jason Jenkins. Yeah, some of the Chituka brothers. I know Vince has been there for a while, but Emmanuel Manu being there. And some of them are injured, and they've got lots of injury, but they've got probably more depth than any other team in South Africa. And the signings last season, part of their problem was when the Springboks were out, the second sort of string Sharks weren't at all the level they should be. They're not there yet. They're a lot closer, and they're playing more as a team, and I feel that they did last year. So there's more of a brotherhood they're forming, and you can see what John Plumtree's trying to do. And against the Bulls, it showed that they could live off scraps at times, and they could win. Yeah, I the Lions are going to find it very tough this weekend against them.
What the Sharks have also displayed is that they don't mind playing at altitude. Of course, there was that Currie Cup final win with different players, if you like. But then there's also the performance of their last visit to Loftus. So they've pretty much cracked that code. They don't mind coming up here and doing a job. And yeah, I agree with you. I think the Lions are going to have it tough this weekend.
Yeah, and we look at the game against the Bulls at Loftus. They ran basically everything. And the Bulls at one point, Jake White had spoken in the week before about how he was hoping the Sharks would run themselves off their feet. But clearly they're quite fit. Clearly they don't mind playing that game at pace. And that, at times they're impressive. I think in that first half against the Bulls, they had something like 78 or 80% possession and territory. And it just was... I mean, the Bulls were defending for 30 minutes, and that's also tiring. So, yeah, I don't think the Sharks have got anything to worry about coming to Joburg. The Lions have probably got more pressure on them during this game than anything else.
Prediction time?
That's a tough one. I'd probably favour the Sharks to win, just on the quality of the side. Depending, I mean, again, all these things are dependent. When you talk about it before, you don't know who's available and who's not. So, but with the quality in their lineup, I think they should... I'm not sure the desperation is going to carry the Lions that far.
You're not going to put a number on it?
I think it'd be a close game. Yeah. I'd say less than seven, but the Sharks.
I'd go Sharks by eight. It might be a closer game than that. So, yeah, I'm going to stick to Sharks by eight. Then we head north, up the N1, Loftus, the blue chip fixture. The Storm is probably not where they want to be in terms of overall squad well-being and also where they find themselves on the points table. But this is a very interesting juncture for them, because a win at Loftus and the skies will brighten for them, for the Stormers. But that's easier said than done. But I mean, they have done it before, so it's not impossible.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, if you'd have to pick any team in the URC that can win at Loftus, it would always be the Stormers would be my first choice. They've just done it so often. They're not overawed by the venue or the opposition or the altitude or anything at Loftus. They tend to almost burgle victories quite often against the Bulls a number of times. And even the game in Cape Town, they were down and out. You thought the Bulls had that one firmly won, and then suddenly came back with two late tries. And that often happens in these games. Yeah, the one team's not able to plant that knockout blow. And I think that has been a problem for the Bulls all season, probably the last two seasons, that they get teams and they get into a winning position at home or wherever they're playing, and they can't plant that knockout blow. And against the Stormers, it almost cost them. If Clayton Blomicki's got that kick over, it would have been a very different result. But the on paper, I mean, the Bulls, the way they dismantled the Lions, that first 20 minutes, those three tries, Vili LaRue looks like he's coming into his own a bit more with Fly, if he's getting a bit more settled in. They still got a couple of problems with goal kicking, and that all, again, that was a big part of that Cape Town game. And this is their fifth derby in a row, so that also takes its toll. But they've got 2 weeks off after this, so yeah, I think they would be favourites at home. The Stormers aren't where they should be. But yeah, I'm never going to write off a Stormers in a fixture like this. And I think it's going to be, again, a close game. Lots of swings in the game, but the Bulls should probably take this one comfortably, I'd say probably by 10 points.
I suppose that, and you mentioned Vili LaRue's name, I think that's probably one element of this game where we can't say with any certainty whether he'll play with as much authority as he did last week, because I think the Stormers will probably hatch a plan around Vili. But the other thing they need to solve is their scrum, because the Cape Town game showed that they don't scrum with the same authority as they did maybe a season or two ago. So that's an area that certainly is going to invite a lot of scrutiny. I think if the Stormers get parity there, they have a real chance. But anything short of that, they're going to spend a lot of time on the back foot and will have to feed off scraps. And look, they can do that. They're adept at doing it. But there are better ways to getting to your final destination than having to do it under pressure all the time. So parity in the scrums and half decent lineup ball, and I think they're very much in the running. In fact, depending on how they line up, I'll leave the door ajar for the Stormers here.
Yeah, I mean, the Bulls do have some weaknesses, and they've covered them quite well at stages in games, but they, out wide, they have been found out. The Sharks found them out under the high ball as well, so they had some problems. They fixed it a bit against the Lions. But
and some poor one-on-one marking there as well.
Yeah, they've definitely been found out wide in the wider channels by teams, if you can move them around a bit. The Bulls will play off their set piece. They're very much like you'd expect with the Bulls. Their scrum is looking awesome at the moment. They'll look for scrum penalties, and they'll look to use their maul as well. You know, Dion Free is going to be huge if he plays. But yeah, I agree with you. If the Stormers can get parity, their backs have got that opportunity to unlock the Bulls. I think there's a little bit more X factor in the Stormers when it comes to that back line. But yeah, it's at Loftus. Yeah, I still think the Bulls at Loftus should be able to win. But again, five derbies in a row, and I think that takes a toll. And yeah, Jake mentioned it the other day, and I didn't actually quite think about it till he mentioned it. But he also said no other team in the URC has had to face this. And the Bulls have had a nightmare season. Their first seven games, I think they had one at home in the URC. The other six were away. And now they've come back. Now they've got a run of games at home. This is now, I think, their third one. They've got two more coming after the two-week break that they have. And then they've got a couple overseas. But they've got a long run here at home towards the end of the season. But five derbies in a row is a tough one for any South African side. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they manage it. But I'd still favour them at Loftus.
It is tough. But, these things happen in swings and roundabouts. So, you know, as much as this block of games is going to tell you, you know, be heavy and might take its toll, there will be times when, and maybe at a convenient time in the season, where, you know, the pressure is off a little bit. When I say the pressure is off, the physical demands aren't as high in every game, which might come at a timely juncture in this competition before the playoffs. So they might benefit from that. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think, look, I mean, it's quite funny. It's always, you and I have been in this business long enough to know that injuries only become a problem when the team's losing. Fixtures like this only become a problem if you lose a few in a row. When you're winning, you don't worry about these things. But as soon as you're losing, coaches tend to bring out everything in the book that's gone wrong. And look, I mean, Jake's an old dog in this. He knows. I mean, he had, when last week when all the other teams released their injury list, he came out and was quite sarcastic and made a joke that he thought the Stormers had so many injuries, they're going to put Carl Duplessis and Gerrit Smal on that list as well. He was
a little offside, I would say.
Yeah, he's certainly trying to get a bit of a dig into Dobbo there. There's a good rivalry there, so I don't think there's going to be anything different this week. I just hope at the end of the day the rugby's as absorbing as the last fixture was.
Yeah, I don't think in terms of passion, in terms of intensity, it's going to lack anything. So might not be expecting in terms of quality attacking rugby all the time, but I think for sheer grind and effort and laying bodies on the line, I don't think we're going to fall short there.
I think we just should mention while we're about it, obviously this week also saw the retirement of Stephen Kitsoff, who has been a great servant for Springbok rugby. Interesting, I didn't know, Matt Pierce pointed out the other day in a call to me that he'd been on the bench 54 times, which is a Springbok record. You almost seem synonymous with with any Springbok team over the last...
It's even more than Ollie Leroux.
Yeah, and I mean, fair enough, we probably should follow those stats more, but it was just an interesting stat to hear. And yeah, two World Cup titles, the Spicy Plum, as he's known. He's
having played now, every game in two successful World Cups.
Yeah, and really, he's, when you say Springbok legends, his name will go down as one of them. We've been trying to get him on the podcast. We've been chasing him, and he's been trying to find time. So we hopefully will have him in the next week or so. Get to talk about
But don't call the man when he's mid-swing, Brendan.
When you're as you can imagine,
on a windy course in Cape Town, your phone should
be...
That
was in Joburg, of course. He was in Joburg. So there's also flights involved. So, but yeah, he did make a commitment to get onto the pod at some point. So I just think at the moment, this week when he's retired, there's so many invitations probably going out to him. Yeah, we'll have to grab him when he gets a moment in time. But well done, Kitsy, and a round of applause to you for your career. Mm-hmm. We're certainly going to miss him, but I'm sure he's going to be around. Yeah, the gingers never really disappear out of the picture.
Yeah, you just got the sense that he was also, with all those games coming off the bench, the sort of development of the bomb squad, that he was very much an integral part of the success of that element of Springbok rugby. So, yeah, no, stellar career. I mean, you just look at the number of, not just the number of games on the winning side, but then also the trophies that came along with it.
Just in terms of, I mean, we talk a lot about the Springboks, but Stormers fans will tell you as well, is that their sort of resurgence in that first two seasons in the URC and their sort of road to the final when he was captain, he was a huge part of that. And I think, you know, we always talk about the Springboks, but his impact on Stormers rugby was massive.
Yeah. Yeah. What I liked about him was he's a very calm chap, doesn't get flustered, just gets on with the job. And, you know, there would have been a lot of pressure situations. And, I mean, a lot of people didn't expect the Stormers to. And I don't think some of them expected to win it in the first year. But he took everything in his stride. And, yeah, you know, Stormers rugby, Western Province rugby, and Springbok rugby will certainly miss Stephen Kitsoff.
Yeah, and making the right decision. I mean, medically, nobody wants to see any other complications later in life. So you can understand the decision medically as well. But yeah, he's going to be missed. He's going to be missed. But then we should probably jump into some predictions.
Well, we made our predictions for the Sharks game.
Yeah, the other games.
But the Bulls game. I'm going to, you know, if you stack everything up, then the Bulls would run out favorites. But I've got the sneaky suspicion the Stormers are good for an upset. So I'm going to go Stormers by 3.
Okay, interesting. But there's also some other games in URC. It's going to get the fixture list up. Yeah, and there's a full round, of course, in between, so we're not sure how many of the internationals will be playing. That always makes it spicy. Munster opening Friday night against Sean Everett's Edinburgh, definitely under some pressure after the loss to Zebre. But yeah, being in Limerick, I reckon Munster probably shade that one.
Munster by 9 for me.
Yeah, I think they'll be comfortable winners. The other Friday night game is the bottom two teams on the log, Zebre against the Dragons. Just given Zebra's form in the last couple of weeks, a couple of the upsets that they got, I think Dragons are probably in for a tough night there in Parma.
Yeah, Zebra's been giant slayers. Whether these Dragons qualify as that, I'm not sure. But yeah, Zebra should win.
Then the Saturday is the first two games of the Bulls. The Lions game is Lions-Sharks at 2:30. Bulls is Stormers is at 5. Also at 5, Leinster are hosting Cardiff. Now, Cardiff are 6th on the log, but you can't see them coming within 20 points of Leinster this weekend.
Yeah, I think that run could start, I suppose, this weekend. So for me, Leinster by 15 at least.
Yeah, even though there's a lot of internationals missing, Cardiff also have a lot of internationals missing. Ulster facing Scarlets just after that. Scarlets on 8, that's what we've been talking in the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Pods, the Welsh teams, Cardiff 6, Scarlets 8, yeah, in the top 8. Though that I think is going to be shifting downwards. I'd say Ulster, even though they're 14th, And Scarlets are eighth. I think Ulster have got a good chance of recording a very good victory in Belfast.
I think this could be quite a decent matchup. I think Scarlets could, in fact, even win this one, but I'm not going to go that far. I think Ulster will still, but it'll be a lot closer than a lot of people anticipate.
Probably the last two, probably the quite interesting out of the rest of fixtures for me, harder to call. Connacht hosting Benetton in Galway. Connacht 11th, Benetton 7th. And just, sorry, I think something just, spider just ran over my foot. So this is a fright thing. But yeah, I'd say probably Connacht just being at home back then, but it's going to be a tight game there.
Yeah, tight, but yeah, you've got to favour the home side. I mean, not an awful lot of teams go to Galway and get grab the points.
And last one, Glasgow hosting Ospreys. Ospreys 13th, shouldn't trouble Glasgow in any way. But Ospreys have a knack of finding games where they can be really difficult to beat.
They do, but it's that time of the season where you can't slip up, especially, well, I'm talking now, thinking from a Glasgow perspective, things are going to get tight. So they'll still very much go with Glasgow. So Glasgow by 12, at least.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's probably the sensible one. I just know Ospreys can at times. You don't know exactly what their situation is in their team and how much they're going to miss the internationals, but they certainly are a side that can be tough at times to beat. But yeah, I mean, I think Sharks and Bulls fans will be hoping Ospreys can do something there because it'll definitely help their cause in the log. But yeah, I can't see Glasgow losing at home. So probably pretty comfortable victory for Glasgow there. That's the round of fixtures.
That brings us nicely to the Six Nations. Now, I'm not sure how much you watched because both of us would have been engaged in other matches, but certainly a couple of absorbing matches in the, what do they call it? The greatest rugby championships.
Yeah, they're often told. All these marketing people trying to take a dig at each other with the greatest in the rugby championship. I'll give them this.
A lot of the hype certainly is fantastic. The marketing part of it is great. It's kind of in your face match day. The pyrotechnics is there. The PA system is booming. The crowd is usually energized and enthralled even before they arrive. So the Six Nations certainly has a lot going for it in terms of that. And on the field, a lot of the clashes are quite absorbing. You don't necessarily find the best flowing matches. You don't necessarily find the highest quality. But in terms of competitiveness, in most of the games, that does make for compelling viewing. And last weekend was no exception. I mean, if you look at that Scotland game in particular, where, you know, if they kicked their conversions, they would have come here with a win.
Yeah, I just firstly on just the production level, it's lovely to see a rugby game where there are sort of things to keep the crowds happy and those people who aren't necessarily hardcore rugby fans absorbed, without turning it into an outdoor disco and pumping, you know, music the whole time while the game is on, like some. Well, there's a couple of stadiums, yeah, that do it, yeah, and Anyway, I've said enough about that in the past. You know my feelings on that. I think sometimes rugby needs to be the main thing, and that's not always the case in some local stadiums, yeah. So it is absorbing, and the way the French do it, especially with the night games, where they put the tricolors colors up. And the lights, and it's stunning. It's really stunning to watch. So it's really well put together. And the clashes have got so much history anyway that, yeah, there's so much going for it. That's
well,
the beauty of
it's tribal. I mean, it has a beating heart.
In
a lot of cases.
Yeah. So in that way, yes. Just on Scotland, they should have won. They'll be kicking themselves for that. But
kicking at the wrong time.
Yeah. And they're not talking about the ITV production, which the most crucial kick of all they missed, and they didn't have on the screen, Finn Russell's one. But, I just wondered, Gregor Townsend there, how... Yeah, he tends to take Scotland to be a tough team to play, but they don't get the big victories they need at times. And I'm just wondering how long he still got there before somebody like Franco Smith gets talked about a lot more for Scotland.
It's an interesting one. I mean, Gregor Townsend is a very accomplished coach, make no mistake. But as we've seen, sometimes a fresh voice does bring, you know, new energy, I suppose, fresh purpose, I suppose if you look at Wales and the way they quickly turned things around in what, 3 4 training sessions after Warren Gatland left, you just got the sense that they have a bit of a spring in their step, that they were unleashed in a way, unshackled. You know, they could just play, have a go. They wouldn't, in fact, there was like almost no expectations, and they were like, well, if that's the case, let's have a go. And they were good for it. I mean, fantastic for a large part of that game. And again, under different circumstances, may have come closer to Ireland, but yeah, wasn't to be for them.
I've got a very different view. I mean, to me, it felt very much like that week. If I was reading a lot about Wales in the build-up to this game, and it felt very much like that week in Cape Town after the 57-0 with the All Blacks in the box, where there was so much just, desperation just to do something, just to not repeat that result. And I almost got the same sort of feeling from Wales that, whether they can replicate it, that's the challenge now for them. Whether they can put up a performance like that again in the Six Nations. Because to do it once off, backs against the wall, everybody rooting for you, desperation works, but I'm not sure it's sustainable always on that, just on emotion alone. So,
Look, I suppose they have to start somewhere. So after
yeah.
Gatland, so in terms of taking that first step, I think that very much was in the right direction. It was
Yeah.
positive. The body energy was, was positive. The body language, and I think knowing Wales, and you've been, Cardiff, whether you're in Cardiff, whether you're in Swansea, whether you're in Neath or Newport, rugby is very much king, and I think those players would be the talk of the town, and I think they will feed off it. I think they'll be good for it, or better for it.
Yeah. Italy, unfortunately, we're all hoping that they could go like they did last year against France, but that was never going to be. So, no. It's going to be interesting the next round. We'll talk about the fixtures then next week in our pod, but I think that's about it for us. Yeah.
But no, but we actually do need to discuss the France Italy game, because it became a festival after a while, and it was a festival you would expect in Paris. This time it was in Rome. Italy starting well, but then getting completely and utterly overwhelmed by a French team that showed a few significant changes. Basically, people who were identified as having fallen well short of their normal standards at Twickenham the week before, being left out of the game in Rome. And, the guys who came in responded, and they responded with aplomb.
Yeah, I tell you, look, we've said it before in the podcast. France has got a lot of depth, and there's a lot of players knocking on the door there. It can only be good for a team, and we've seen it in the Springboks as well, where younger players start knocking on the door and really put pressure on the older players. I don't think that's a bad thing. I didn't actually expect much of a different result in Rome. I was hopeful, but I just felt that, once that French machine starts getting going, no matter who's in it, I'm not sure Italy got quite the same sort of stern defense that can keep them out and turn that game around.
Yeah, but that may be the case. But I mean, you don't expect them to concede 73 at home. In fact, I think
No.
that's the second highest score in the Six Nations. So yeah, they will be desperately disappointed with that, right? Especially on home soil. And again, as I said earlier, against the French team that showed a few changes, and it, what it, I think what that result also does, it places even more emphasis on next weekend's game, when France have to go to Dublin in a potential decider against Ireland, who obviously has the inside lane. They're still unbeaten, but a French win there could upset the apple cart.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk more about that next week in the pod. That's next week's games. It's been good chatting then. Let's hope the derbies are good fun this weekend. But yeah, that's it for us this week. We'll chat to you all next week. Have a good weekend.
Thanks for listening. For the latest insights and rugby analysis each week, plus new episode alerts, please follow or subscribe to the series. Or find all episodes at jacarandafm.com or the Jackpot app.